We all believe in something. The world often tells us we need to believe in ourselves, but true faith is really abandoning ourselves and making the bold decision to believe in something far greater. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues men may think about but seldom talk about. Our topic, faith, a radical choice to believe, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on faith, a radical choice to believe, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team. Peter Herbeck's new book is Thinking Straight. He's a radio and TV host, directing international mission teams for Renewal Ministries. Curtis Martin wrote Made for More, the founder and president of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. And our coach, Danny Abramowitz, a former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, well-known speaker, author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. Danny, faith is tough for guys because it doesn't make sense. Guys like stuff that makes sense.
You know, Brian, you're right. It's not easy because it's not logical. You know, in this world, what we want is to think it about it in a scientific or math terms where everything works out. Two and two make four. But in faith, a lot of times, two and two make five. So we come to a point where we just gotta believe. You understand, guys?
Yeah, I mean, so you mean two and two makes five means it stretches you at times, stretches the limits of your own understanding in some ways. It's rational, but it stretches us nonetheless.
Exactly.
You know? I think one of the things that, when you look at faith, all of us, and growing up as a young guy, I got sort of the doctrinal part because I got catechized, so I understood the creed, you know, the principles on the creed. But the part I didn't get was the relationship, really, that the heart of faith is a relationship with a person. Right, it's leaning into a person, it's knowing a person, and I think for a lot of guys, part of the reason why faith isn't more dynamic is that very reason. A wonderful priest once said to me, said, you know, faith, think about it this way, it's to lean on that person in such a way with your whole life that he wasn't there, you'd fall flat on your face.
That's a radical aspect of our faith, and I think sometimes, you know, we raise in a culture that at least has the trappings of having been Christian. And we think everybody must believe this way, but the Christian faith is absolutely radical. We believe that there's a God who sent his son to become one like us, who died for you and for me. And then after that death, rose from the dead. Nobody else has ever done that. He rose from the dead, never to die again. And that's the foundation of our faith. This is absolutely radical to believe this. And this is the guy we're going to entrust our lives to. Right. He wants us to lean on him completely.
Right. We've got this nice guy religion, and you're calling to be radical.
Yeah. I mean, Christianity is an earthquake. When you really think about it, I mean, the apostles believed because there literally was like an earthquake. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And if you read what they had to say, they spent their time saying, you know, he's risen. He's alive. This is the guy who actually knows what he's talking about. He was dead and now he's alive. And Augustine said, Christianity is the resurrection from the dead and belief in it.
And be careful now who you lean on. Now, Peter, don't lean on Curtis too hard. You know,
I tried that. I ended up on my face.
And you know what you got to remember too is that faith is a gift of God.
That's right.
This is infused into us. And it's not an easy thing. We're going to have to work at it. It just comes into you through the grace of God. Now, you have to work on it. And it's not like everything you do in life. You have to put some time and effort into
it. Once you have it, you become the type of man who can turn the world upside down, which is what the apostles were said to have done. And that's what we need. I mean, I don't know about you. I think I live in a world that needs to be flipped upside down again. I mean, it's crazy out there. Yeah. And really, it's a clarion call to men to wake up, come back to the church, and get serious about living a radical faith.
No, absolutely.
I think one of the things we see, the church's mission in the country and in the world is to spread the good news of Christ. And so oftentimes you hear these days say, well, the church isn't doing that job. We're not spreading the gospel. Right. Especially men are MIA. They're just not involved in the whole thing. Until men really wake up to their faith, till they grasp the radical dimensions of faith. And you're not perfect, but the radical dimensions of faith, the church isn't going to be able to fulfill its mission.
What we need is a game plan, guys, and Peter and Curtis have it for us right after this quick timeout on Crossing the Goal.
It's real easy to believe in myself, but it's my personal choice to step out and believe in the Creator God.
For me, faith is everything, you know. To truly believe in something.
If you don't believe in something, And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then what do you have?
It's really difficult to describe your faith and put it into words. It's always there. It's a root of who I am. It is like oxygen to me.
I'm a fireman in Hollywood by profession, so faith for me is an absolute.
Peter, we're talking about faith today, and when I think about faith, we're talking about radical faith, but when I think about faith, sometimes I think about reciting the creed at Mass, which we do every Sunday. I believe in the Father and these principles, and these are all true, but is that what we're talking about in essence?
Well, yeah, that is the faith. It's like the content of the faith and what we believe, but let's start at the beginning. We talk about faith. We're saying faith, first of all, is a way of knowing. It's a way of knowing the truth about what God the Father has done in His Son. It's the way, essentially, it's understanding and trusting a person. And God reveals to us His plan, and His plan is not just a strategy up written in the sky. His plan is literally revealed in a person. Faith allows me to see that and to surrender my life to it and to trust it and to do it radically. And so at some point in everybody's life, and this is where, for many, I think many Catholic guys, we never get to this point. We've taken this stuff in our mind, the basic creeds and the truth of the faith, but we've never come to terms with the person and the person's call on my life, and then my call, my responsibility to be able to surrender my whole life to Him.
You know, take that leap. There was about over a century ago, there was this guy called the Great Blondin who ran a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he would go out and walk on the tightrope, and then he'd come back out, people would cheer, and he'd say, "All right, do you think I can do this with a wheelbarrow?" And they'd say, "Yeah." So he'd go out there with a wheelbarrow, and they'd say, "That's great." And then he'd come back and he'd say, "Do you think I can put a person in the wheelbarrow?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he says, "Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" That's faith.
Yeah.
That's faith. You think you can do it, but are you going to take the leap?
Yeah.
And it would be kind of unreasonable to do that with Blondin, but Jesus is asking for that kind of radical commitment. Look what I've done. I've been completely faithful in everything to the point where even when I was crucified and killed, I rose from the dead. I want you to trust me.
Yeah, and the question is, why trust Him? You know, why trust Him? Ultimately, that's the bottom line, because what you're doing is you are surrendering yourself to a person. For the apostles, they said, look, we're sharing this with you. We're witnessing to what we've seen and heard, and that is this man literally rose from the dead. He's different than everybody. At the heart of their conviction was to say, look, everything he said, everything, his view of reality, his view of me, my purpose in life, where, how I'm supposed to live, is all true.
He speaks into my life, into your life, saying, Peter Curtis, you were made for more. I want to give you everything you long for. You long for life, life that you can't lose. And I have that kind of life if you'll trust me. But it's a completely radical departure from the world, which is living a life that you can't keep.
Right. And what makes him different than Aristotle or Plato or Buddha or anyone else, the Christian claim and the center of the faith is, why he is separate from everyone else is he literally rose from the dead. He dealt with the ultimate problem that we all have, the sin problem that has led to our death and our ultimate demise. No one else can solve that, no matter how wise and how smart they are. And so for the apostles, they said, this is the one. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life.
All right, but a lot of us, we've grown up with a faith. We have a faith, but you're talking about a radical, life-changing commitment. How do you get that faith?
Yeah. First, one way to describe it, you know, St. Paul says, faith comes through hearing, and what is heard is the word of God. Another place Paul says, God has decided through the foolishness of what we preach, it says, to save those who come to believe. God has decided through the preaching of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. What's the good news? The good news is the truth about Jesus and the hope that we have in Jesus, that I can actually enter a life beyond death through my relationship with this person.
And the power is that you can be preached to in two different ways. You can go and meet somebody and they can tell you the truth, and we need to have more of that. But the other thing that's powerful about being alive now as opposed to 1,000 years ago is we actually have access to the sacred scriptures. Yeah. So we can have the apostles actually preach to us through their readings. We can go to God's word, and as men, open up the pages and say, Lord, I remember as a child when you spoke to me as a child. Right. Now, as a man, I want to turn to you and have you speak to me again. And he does. I know in my life, he invites us to make that radical leap of relationship.
Yeah, it changed my life to the, you know, when I first started reading the Bible, it felt like a foreign land. It was very dry. The rest of it, but you start to ask the Lord for help, and this word is a living word. You come to discover that this word is alive and it has power. Paul says at one point, it's like a sword. It cuts through your heart. It has a capacity to cut right to the core of you and reveal the truth about what's in you. And that's important because we see the truth about us in relationship to this person who actually is the truth. And then I've got a decision to make. How am I going to live? Am I going to continue to live the way I have been living, or am I going to acknowledge the reality of where I'm at in relationship to Him and say, I'm going His way. It's time to go His way. So Paul says, I love this line in Corinthians, it says, He died, that is Jesus died, so that those who live, you and I in Christ, may no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and rose again. That's the turn. That's what faith is. I come to the point of saying, you know, I have been calling the shots. My whole life I've been calling the shots. Now my life is to live for another, for Him.
No, it's a powerful thing to realize Christ wants to take the life we have and make it His own and then give us a new life. And that's the radical call of faith. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Peter, great game plan. Coach, ready for the leap of faith into the pit?
Peter and Curtis, I volunteer Brian for the wheelbarrow.
That's faith. After you, Coach, we're moving into the red zone next on Crossing the Goal.
Give me a scoop of the wheelbarrow.
Faith is a gift that I was given, and I believe every man's been given.
Virtus means manly, so it speaks to the authentic manly quality of our faith, and I think that faith is most important because it's the foundation from which other things grow.
Faith is the relationship with God, that encounter where we actually have a heart-to-heart encounter with the Lord.
Faith makes everything else true. It makes everything else real. It makes everything else alive.
Talking about faith here on Crossing the Goal, you know, we can have faith and still keep God out of our lives until that faith becomes personal. Coach?
It has to be personal, and faith isn't just put my toe in the water, let's just feel it out. You got to go, to me, you have to go all the way with faith. And it happened in my life, it has to be with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in life. If I think about my life, I have an addictive personality. When I played sports, I went 1,000%. When I drank a lot. When I ate ice cream, I didn't eat a small bowl, I ate a big bowl. But when I went to the Lord in faith, I went all the way.
But what got you there?
I guess I got sick and tired of fake goals. My faith was in other things and human goals and things of that nature. I still had a somewhat faith, you know, stick my toe in the water.
I think what happens, you probably had what a lot of us have, a lot of guys have, is that we take a minimalistic approach to it, to say, okay, what do I have to do? I mean, I know vaguely that I'm supposed to be religious and I'm a Catholic, so I have to, you know, I guess I gotta go to church and I better get my family to go to church and then get
more
to confession maybe once a year.
Faith.
Yeah, it's a kind of minimalism. You take a minimalist approach to it. And that's why it doesn't have life, that's why it isn't dynamic, that's why you don't feel any kind of real change until it becomes the center. You're no longer just a minimalistic approach. You know, John Paul II said, he said, you know, what he looked at when he looked across the church, he said, many folks in the church are, he calls them Christians at risk, because they're taking a minimalistic approach in the middle of a war. They're saying, instead of being alive and attentive and really responsive to God with their heart, he said, there's just no way you're going to make it.
Jesus isn't asking for that minimalistic. I mean, look what he paid to get into the game. Total, complete commitment.
Gave it all.
And he's asking for the same kind of response back from us. I look at the relationship that my three high school age sons have with their football coach. And he said, look, I'm going to promise you a state championship, but I want you to run. I want you to run until you can't run any harder. I want you to hit as hard as you can. And I watch them, and they'll run back and forth on the field until they can't walk. Because they believe in this guy. They have a relationship with this coach. Well, Christ is the ultimate coach. He's not going to teach you how to get a state championship. He's going to give you eternal life if you will commit wholeheartedly to the life he's offering.
That's amazing, the point you're bringing up. And it's good that coaches have that kind of impact on young people. In politics, look at the impact that we have. We believe more in secular things. We believe in one another more than we believe in Jesus Christ. I guess it's a improper understanding of what Jesus Christ, what did he do? What he died for us to do what? Just for us to have a minimal faith and just get by?
Well, it shows the power of faith, Coach, because what it is I can see that state championship.
Right.
You have to have faith to see everlasting life.
Right.
That's the power to realize, actually, it's more real. The things we believe in are more real because they're going to last longer. A million years from now, where's the state championship? It's gone. Where are we? We're in heaven or we're in hell. It's the most real thing there is.
Right, and that was something I didn't get as a young guy. You know, when I remember as a young man, I didn't have a deeper faith because bottom line is I didn't want it. I mean, that's where I was at. I mean, I believed in God. I didn't consider myself, you know, God's enemy or something. I believed in it, but my heart and mind were just set on other things. And a lot of times things I wasn't supposed to have at the same time. But I remember a sister of mine invited me to come to a conference one time at the University of Notre Dame. I thought I'd go because it was the University of Notre Dame. I'd never been there before. I wanted to see Touchdown Jesus. And at that conference, there were thousands of people at this thing. And at that conference, I'd say for one of the first times in my life, I heard preaching from Catholic priests and lay people. It was so powerful. I was sitting in this one session and I opened up just a little bit and that word cut right into my heart. And I started getting conviction about the lying and the compromise that was going on in my life and the messing around. And all of a sudden I started to see myself in a whole different light. I didn't understand what I was missing
until
the gospel opened up my heart. I thought, wow, I didn't know. You know?
If you open that door just a little crack, then God's grace comes rushing in.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about you could be preached to, and you were, or you can go to the scriptures, because for me it happened my sophomore year in college when I was reading the scriptures. First time as an adult, I had opened the Bible my mom had given me, and I started reading, and all of a sudden I started getting into it. And I'm listening to Jesus speak, and at a certain point in time, I almost felt as though he had inserted my name, Curtis.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I felt like I'd been punched
in
the gut.
Yes, Lord.
It was very personal. Yeah. And I realized all the games you were talking about, Peter, of, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything really bad.
Right.
I can always think of somebody who's worse than me.
I'm a good guy.
Or at least I'm not as bad as that guy.
Yeah.
And so you play this game, and all of a sudden, Jesus is standing before me saying, no games. This is real life.
Yeah.
I died for you. Now I'm willing to take the life you broke and give you a new life. But you need to play ball.
Yeah, and it's so real. It's like he gets to the point, he says, you know, I feel like he said to me, Peter, it's time to fish or cut bait.
Right.
Are you in or are you out?
Well, let's,
and you're straddling the fence, and that's the wrong place
to
be.
Let's talk about that a little bit. We're talking about, guys, your faith is important. What about lack of faith? What happens with lack? You know, you have the two. You have faith or lack of faith. You know, when a person has lack of faith, when I had a convenient faith.
Right.
I went to Mass.
You shaped it the way you wanted it
to
fit your life because you had other priorities.
Because I'm going to go now, this time, Lord, wait over here a second. I'm going to go run around over here, a few brewskis and have a good old time.
See you on Sunday.
I'll be
back.
See you Sunday.
More than a few, because there's not a problem with having a few. You're talking about more than a few.
That was boring. One drink's boring.
Yeah.
Half a case, that was more interesting to me.
Yeah.
But the lack of faith, what happens is my goal was what? My goal was after all pro, status, money, these things.
Celebrity,
I found out,
all that.
Every time I reached one of them, okay, what's next?
Because you weren't made for those things.
No, exactly what you're saying. Once I started doing it, now say, boom, once I said I'm going to go with the Lord, everything was perfect after. No, man, it got worse.
But everything changes.
It changes.
Yep. Yeah.
But the devil, you, as you know, when you go into AA, your life will never be the same. When you go to the faith and really start believing, your life will not be the same. It'll be better.
Yeah. But it'll be different too.
It's tough. It's
always
a tough road.
Because I think a lot of guys sit back and say, well, Christianity's boring. I want to go live an exciting life.
Right.
Christianity is brutally difficult. In fact, it's impossible without God's grace and assistance. It's really tough to do the right thing, but it's good. You all of a sudden wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, I see a guy that Christ died for.
Right.
I see a man who is loved by his Father. And that's a powerful reality to live within as a man.
Yeah, ask the martyrs about Christianity being boring. Can you imagine the faith that it would take to be stand up to these lions coming at you?
You know, another thing is, let's think about this. Everything we do in life, there's a cost.
Yeah.
Think of focus. If you spend an hour a week on focus, how good would focus be?
I'll
or your
you know.
Ministry, how good it would be? Or anything, a carpenter, a plumber, a doctor, an hour a week. We in the Catholic faith go, many people just go one Mass, 1 hour a week. You got to work at faith. If you think that's going to do it, that's why you don't have a very, your faith is not very strong.
Even if you just ate 1 hour a week, we'd be awfully hungry.
Some guys need to do that.
Don't point at me.
Yeah. And the back to the point of saying, you know, faith comes through hearing. And I think one of the things we got to do, what changed my life was finally being willing at some point to put myself in a situation where I could hear, that I was willing to hear. You know, Jesus is so clear in the scripture. He says, you know, if you're hungry, I'm going to feed you. If you're thirsty, I'm going to quench your thirst for you. But that's the real question when it comes to faith. Are we hungry?
We got to
really
want it.
Do we want it? Are we ready to make a step to open our lives and allow the truth about Christ to speak into our heart? Because really what's at the heart of the Catholic Church is this mind-blowing thing that God has revealed himself in Christ, and Christ now wants to gaze into my heart and life so that I can really come to see who I am honestly in relationship to why I was made. And then when I see it, I say, you know what? I'm off track, man. I'm not worried. Even though I thought I was winning the game, I'm a little bit off track. He knows where I'm supposed to go, and I'm going to follow him.
And I grew up in a Catholic home, and I believe Jesus. But Jesus said, if you seek, you'll find, and I never sought. So how much did I believe him?
Right.
And so to take the challenge and say for each one of us to be able to say, I actually will take your word at that, Lord. What is it that you want out of my life? I want to seek that because you've promised me that if I seek, I'll find. And so that's the question I have, Lord. What is it that you want from me and for me in my life?
You know, another thing is a lot of times in faith, God uses other people.
Right.
Put men in our lives. You know, St. Francis says, always proclaim the gospel and sometimes use words. Well, the example of many people in my life, lives of men that I really, including my dad, starting with my dad, those are the people I think that influenced me to on my walk in faith, that really start thinking, you know, I saw other guys doing it. Manly guys, not wimpy guys. We got an idea that a faith guy is a weak guy. No, that guy is stumbling out of a bar. Danny Abramowitz out of the bar, that's a wimp.
Yeah.
A guy that's in faith, that is walking with his family, the spiritual head of his family, that's going to mass, that's going to convince, that's praying daily, that's the man. Yeah,
that man is no wimp, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Coach Danny, Curtis, Peter, you guys get the last word. We're going to push into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We've reached the end zone here on Crossing the Goal. Coach Danny's going to set us straight on faith after we get the last word from Curtis and Peter.
Thanks, Brian. The focus of our discussion today has been on the central key point of faith is a relationship. Faith is about a relationship with a person. And the most important step we can make is for each of us at some point to make a decision, an initial decision, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and the center of our life and then keep repeating that decision every day. Scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the kind of faith Scripture's talking about, you can spell R-I-S-K.
It's a great point, Peter. And really now is the time. We talk about faith. Faith is entrusting ourselves. And we can't please God without that, as Peter said. But at the same moment, faith is a gift that God wants to give you right now. Today's the day to turn to our Lord and seek Him, to say, Lord, I want the type of faith we're talking about, because if we seek, we're going to find. And if we receive that faith, we'll become men, as the Scriptures call us, men of whom the world is not worthy. Coach?
Men, what I want to do is share with you what a guy taught me about personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He drew these three circles. And these, he said, represent all of us in the world. Then he put a cross right outside of it, one just inside and one right in the middle. He said, that's Jesus Christ and our relationship to us in our life. This is a person that has the Lord nowhere in their life. This second person I could relate to because he said, this is a person that has Jesus Christ in his life, but the center of their life might be booze and ego, which was mine. He said this third person is a person that has Jesus Christ as the center of their life. Their family, their job, everything that they do revolves around Jesus Christ. And that's what started to change my life. And I'm asking you to really think about these circles in your life and make Jesus Christ number one.
Great illustration. Coach Danny Abramowitz, Curtis Martin, Peter Herbeck, thanks for being with us. Don't forget, don't just keep the faith. Let's share it. Let's pass it on. I'm Brian Patrick. Next time, hope on Crossing the Goal.
That's a good look.